Material supplied by VMS may be used for internal review, analysis, or research only. Any editing, reproduction, publication, rebroadcasting, public showing, internet, or public display is forbidden and may violate copyright law.
This is Taking Stock on Bloomberg. Well, let's talk about the health of the commercial real estate business. Let's find out. Let me introduce Marissa Manley. She is the president of Commercial Tenant Real Estate Representation. Marissa Manley, welcome to the program.
Thanks. Good afternoon. How are you today?
Good, Marissa. Now, moving out. People moving out means more space available, means better deals for the people you represent, right?
That's correct. When we talk about a tough real estate market, we're talking about it from the landlord's point of view. If we're going to characterize it from the tenant's point of view, it is more favorable than it's been for many years.
Now, give us an example of some of your major clients.
Sure. We represent large financial service firms. We represent medical service providers, institutional medical service providers. We represent, so Sterling National Bank is a client of ours. Depository Trust is a client of ours.
IBM, AT&T as well?
Yep, absolutely.
And what are they finding when they try to negotiate with landlords? What kind of price reductions are you able to achieve right now?
Well, and I want to say that whether it's a Fortune 500 company or whether it's a smaller company these days, the market is offering good opportunities for all. And I'll give you an example. We had one client who's a smaller service firm. The landlord's original asking rent was $45. We concluded a transaction at $30 a square foot. So that's a 34% reduction from the start of negotiations through the close. And in addition, the tenant benefited from a little bit of free rent, a little bit of work. Now, we have another situation, just to give you a specific, Class A building on an avenue. The original rent was $75 a square foot. The taking rent was $48 a square foot. But in addition, we had a work letter contribution, which reduced it by another 5%.
What's a work letter contribution?
Work letter contribution is money that a building owner will offer a tenant to help them build their space. It's an inducement. It's a very, very common inducement in the industry. And the question is, how high can you go? And frankly, right now, we are seeing work letter contributions that can exceed the value of a year's rent.
Now, is that because there are just a lot of contractors out there waiting for work?
No, it has nothing to do with contractors. It has nothing to do with contractors whatsoever. It is truly just a function of the real estate market per se, and it becomes part of the effective rent number. So if you really want to figure out, what are my all-in costs going in here, you're going to look at, okay, what's my base rent? How much free rent am I getting? How much is the landlord giving me to build the space? So if we really want to look overall, so in a transaction like I was describing, we're at about 50% lower than the landlord's asking rent.
And are we going lower in your mind?
Well, look, we don't have a crystal ball, but we can look at where we are today and we can look at the key drivers. And to the extent that unemployment continues to rise, I think we're going to see a continued favorable climate for tenants.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation more with Marissa Manley. She is the president of Commercial Tenant Real Estate Representation. As you heard, it looks as though you can get some very good deals on commercial real estate. But what kinds of buildings should you be looking for, and which are the most vulnerable to price reductions? This is Taking Stock on Bloomberg, pfox11@bloomberg.net. My guest, Marissa Manley, president of Commercial Tenant Real Estate Representation. Marissa Manley, what kinds of buildings are you seeing the biggest types of price cuts?
Well, that's a very good question. I would say we are certainly seeing large price cuts in the Class A buildings. Those are the buildings that the financial services firms, the large law firms, which are also experiencing significant layoffs, have traditionally filled. So these buildings, they went very, very, very far up in the market, $140 a square foot. They're coming down. I think from a tenant perspective, though, what we say is you really need, if you're going out into the market, you're not looking for the buildings that are going to have shown the greatest price differential, but really what suits your needs best. And as a tenant in today's market, I think the good news is that you can probably trade up.
You can trade up.
So if you were a Class B tenant, and if that was what you could afford a year ago, today it's highly likely that you can afford space in a Class A building. I think that it's important for tenants to avoid buildings where the future of the landlord is uncertain, and that will certainly include some Class A buildings. What am I talking about? We know that some landlords financed under very, very favorable conditions when cash was flowing in from abroad. There are about $550 billion of commercial mortgages rolling over between now and 2011. And many of those mortgages are simply not going to be refinanced on as favorable terms. We may see additional bankruptcies. And when there's a bankruptcy, that can lead to discontinuities in the management of a building, degradation of quality. So I think tenants want to be very, very concerned about what's the quality of the landlord that I'm buying into.
I was speaking to Marissa Manley. She is the president of Commercial Tenant Real Estate Representation. Marissa Manley, when you speak about this landlord and the deterioration in the financial health of many landlords, I know you're not a stock analyst, but it doesn't sound like you'd be buying any stocks of a lot of these commercial real estate operators right now.
Well, you know, clearly we know who they are, and let's look at one of those large real estate owners, Vornado, which recently started a vulture fund.
Right.
So I think if a key owner is starting a vulture fund, that tells you he sees opportunities out there and expects other owners to be failing. You know, if you have patient money, it might be a time to buy. We're certainly not going to try to call the bottom of the market. So I think you have to be careful.
But I like that notion, patient money. Can you explain the difference between high availability and vacancy? Because high availability is a little bit of a key into the future.
Absolutely right. So when we talk about vacancy, we mean space that's empty today. And when we talk about availability and the availability rate, we're talking about space that will become vacant during the next 12 months. That's the standard industry terminology. So if a landlord knows that a lease is expiring, and if he hasn't signed that tenant up yet on a lease renewal, he, in essence, has available space. So he needs to be out there marketing that. And it's a good question that you ask, because a lot of people are talking, we've got, let's call it a 10% vacancy rate in Manhattan. But depending on how you want to look at it, we've got a 15 or 16% availability rate, at least. And I say at least because we also have a concept in the commercial real estate world of gray space.
What is gray space?
Well, gray space is space that's not being used, but it's not on the market. So let's take an example. You're a large corporation. You've had to lay off a certain number of staff, but it was 20 people here and 30 people there and 15 people here. So you don't have a block of space yet. So it's going to take you some time, maybe some months, to figure out how you're going to reorganize, what space you're going to put on the market. So you've got gray space. You don't need that space. You want to get rid of it, but you haven't figured out yet, so it hasn't hit the market.
All right. Let me ask you, though. When it does hit the market, how fast are the landlords making these deals?
When you say how fast are the... So it's a company, a sub-landlord, who's going to put gray space on the market.
Right.
And space is sitting there. You know, that's a function of higher availability.
And are landlords that actually own the space, are they sort of, well, are they just getting real a lot faster?
Landlords are getting real much more quickly. They're being much more responsive. In November, when we were talking to people in the market, one landlord said to us, you know what, we don't need to respond to these conditions. We're going to be happy to warehouse our space for a few years. By January, that landlord was coming back to us with very favorable terms.
So that warehouse turns into a glass display case pretty quickly.
Well, that's right. And it's also, there's an effect of, I better take $50 today rather than $30 18 months from now.
Would you disagree if someone said, you know, commercial real estate's going to look a lot like the 1990s debacle?
Well, in the 1990s, remember, there was a motto, there was a refrain, stay alive till 95.
That's right.
For landlords. Is it going to look like that? You know, again, I'm going to go back and say jobs are the key. And let's say there's another thing we need to look at. We need to look at where the government is going with the bailout. The bailout dollars have not been used to create jobs. If you look at some of the analyses, we're talking about get debt rising to 80% of GDP. We're talking about another 3% of GDP to service that debt. If we see that type of a trend in the economy, we are certainly talking about fewer jobs, because we're going to be simply sopping up the private investments that is needed to create jobs.
All right. Now, you're not an expert just in real estate in the Manhattan region. You're also involved in real estate in Connecticut, real estate in Florida.
Correct.
What is the disposition of those commercial markets?
Well, you know, Manhattan has been a fortunate market because the barriers to entry are so high. Where we're doing transactions in Florida now, for instance, and in many, many suburban markets. I'll give you an example. We did a transaction recently, work letter worth about a year and a half of rent.
A year and a half of rent contained in the work letter.
Correct. Plus close to 12 months free rent, plus a rent that was substantially lower than we signed with this same landlord 10 months ago. So it's an example of the fact that when you have markets that have lower barriers to entry, as most suburban markets do, much easier to get a building permit, much easier to find space to put up a new building, you've got more competition there. And when you've got more competition there, landlords are more eager.
Are you hearing anything from the bank side of the business?
Yeah, we're seeing some banks that are very much more eager to be involved in transactions. They are looking very, very carefully at how the work letter dollars get doled out. There may be more paperwork in connection with the transaction for a tenant to make sure they actually get the dollars they need. Now, you can look at that as a plus and a minus. If the bank is involved to that extent, you've got a pretty good feeling of comfort that the landlord is not going away. And that, in fact, the lender is going to be sure that the dollars are doled out for the purposes intended. We are certainly also seeing that lenders may put the brakes on landlords who want to do deals at a lower rent.
All right. I want to thank you very much, Marissa Manley. She's the president of Commercial Tenant Real Estate Representation and giving us some insight into the world of commercial real estate. Now, let me just give you some insight into the world of President Obama. He is speaking and saying right now that there is unprecedented progress has been made on health care reform. He's been speaking at the White House this all about health care legislation. He says that health care insurance reform can't grow the deficit in a decade and that the U.S. must find a way to pay for the health care reform. He pledges to slow the growth of health care costs over the long term. He's confident that waste can be eliminated and that costs can be cut. Coming up, we're going to talk about cost cut in commercial real estate and in negotiations. This is Taking Stock on Bloomberg.